Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Jesse DeLeon here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and we are on the fifth Sunday of Lent today as we connect the previous two Sundays. Bishop, with you so beautifully remarked how all of these readings have been oriented toward conversion and our life in Christ. And today we hear about Lazarus in our Gospel of John.
Yes. So well-known gospel reading of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, the fifth Sunday of Lent. So let us begin. The Gospel of John, chapter 11. Now a man was ill, Lazarus from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfumed oil and dried his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. So the sisters sent word to him, saying, "Master, the one you love is ill." When Jesus heard this, he said, "This illness is not to end in death, but is for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he remained 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews are just trying to stone you, and you want to go back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If one walks during the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks at night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep, but I'm going to awaken him." So the disciples said to him, "Master, if he is asleep, he will be saved." But Jesus was talking about his death, while they thought he meant ordinary sleep. So then Jesus said to them clearly, "Lazarus has died. And I am glad for you that I was not there, that you may believe. Let us go to him." So Thomas, called Didymus, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go to die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." But Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary secretly, saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. For Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up and quickly go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come out with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed, again came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may come to believe that you sent me." And when he had said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. So Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what had been done began to believe in him.
As you said, Bishop, a very well-known passage in John's Gospel, but so many things to reflect on. And as I said earlier, that you had said over the last previous weeks, this Gospel is part of a continuation that we've seen with the woman at Jacob's well, the blind man last week, and now Lazarus being raised from the tomb.
Yes, just to begin our reflection today as well from the first reading that we have this Sunday that will be read at Mass throughout the world, really, on this fifth Sunday is from Ezekiel, which mm-hmm. is a powerful passage which refers to this very event and the event of life after death. And Ezekiel says that, "My people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your grave and have you come from them, O my people. And I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your own land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord." You know, even with the prophet, of course, speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the land there, and the people being dispersed throughout the area of the Middle East, of Holy Land, the Middle East that we see, that God always brings us back. And mm-hmm. so even the death, the part of the fearful death that we all may have, the fear of dying, I should say, is something that God has power over. Mm-hmm. And this is what the prophet is saying to the people that have hope. Hope is probably the greatest virtue, and it's very so much linked to faith. So that faith is where we come out of ourselves, beyond ourselves, and are able to put our life in the hands of the power of God. And that is hope, and that hope comes to fruition in Jesus Christ. So with the people of Israel and Ezekiel, he's announcing that hope to them, that your graves, in other words, being exiled to another land, you live in exile, you live beyond the grave in a certain sense spiritually, but I will bring you out of that. And this is an apropos reading for this Sunday's readings as well, where Jesus goes to the tomb of Lazarus, where physically he had died, but again, he brings out a much deeper meaning, which we'll talk about in the second part mm-hmm. of the program. Mm-hmm. But this death, this power of Jesus over death, something that perhaps all people fear, but he has that power, and that's why he says, "I am the resurrection. I have power over this situation," and that is what he's offering to us also during this Lenten journey of conversion, that that part of our life that will come to all of us, mm-hmm. that it's He who in whom we can trust and hope.
And place our faith that He will guide us through it and lead us toward His glory. I think, like you had said earlier, how it's a progression from one thing to the living water, and He converted that woman there at Jacob's well, to restoring the sight where people were added to Him and people were believing in Him. But now seeing this even grander performance of His power, and how He brought Lazarus back, added even more people to his the faith, and they came to believe in Him, as it says. And it's I think of so many things come to my mind reading this particular gospel, because of the word pictures, because of what you picture in your mind, Lazarus coming out and he's all bandaged up and he's freed from that restriction, and he walks away. And that is such a beautiful image that all of us can, like you said, build our hope in and deepen our faith through that.
Yeah, well, you really hit it. I mean, the imagery, of course, of St. John is mm-hmm. incredible imagery. So if you use those three, as you mentioned, that the first, the woman in the well, it's the interior darkness mm-hmm. that people have. It's almost, who am I? Where am I? What's, you know, and it's just that lack of focus on who I am as a person, and, you know, what's the meaning of my life? And Jesus steps into her life and gives her living water himself, mm-hmm. declaring to her that he knows
everything about her
right. and calls her to himself because he can give her the living water. And then the physical side, so the woman represents that interior, this side of our life, and the blind man, the physical side. So our maladies, our blindness, our imperfections, maybe physically, that people may be concerned about, so many things mm-hmm. that there, but Jesus also conquers those as well and calls the blind man to sight. Mm-hmm. It also can represent our blindness of faith. So many, many aspects of that, but he also comes there. And as you said, that we'll continue after the break, but Jesus comes to that moment of moments in everyone's life where we face death, either, a death spiritually, which happened, which we'll explain, but also the physical death that we have. So the woman on the spiritual side, the interior side, and the blind man on the physical side, and then all that wrapped up into the death moment that Jesus is there as well to bring life to us.
Our Shepherd's View will continue.
Most Precious Blood Parish will again be the site of the annual Fullness of Truth Lenten Conference. Featured presenters include Corpus Christi Bishop Michael Mulvey, evangelist and author Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, TV host Sonia Corbett, and missionary speaker N.A. Hickman. For a detailed schedule of events for this year's conference entitled Go Make Disciples, which begins Friday, March 31st at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga Boulevard, tickets and more information, visit fullnessoftruth.org or phone 877-218-7884.
This is Our Shepherd's View, with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi.
And we continue our discussion with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this fifth Sunday of Lent. Lazarus is raised, and we begin to examine Jesus. And my immediate reaction, which I think a lot of people's, were when the two words in the entire gospel, Jesus wept, his connection with Lazarus, because they were friends, and so he was touched by that on the human level, and he was yet he performed as God, bringing him back to life. So many things to reflect on with this gospel as we hear more from Bishop Mulvey.
I think you pointed out well. There was two kinds of weeping. There was mm-hmm. the weeping of the people that knew him. Mm-hmm. Friends of Martha and Mary, and Martha and Mary themselves. But then there was the weeping of Jesus. And what's the distinction? The distinction, I believe, is a weeping with hope. Mm-hmm. That we all, the pain, the human pain in losing someone. But when you have hope that life is still there, you know, resurrection is there, that it's a different type. It's the weeping for ourselves, mm-hmm. the fact that we're going to miss a friend, miss a loved one. The others may express a lack of hope or a minimalization of their hope. They forget the hope that they can and should have. And so Jesus was perturbed about that, mm-hmm. that I'm here. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the one that can give hope. I'm the one that brings life and am life itself. I am the living water, you know, all those things that we've been hearing about. And to live a moment where we block that out of our experience, that's what he could have been perturbed about, that they were weeping without hope. All of us have cried at the tombs of loved ones. All of us have cried at the funerals of ones who have died. But is it with hope? The human feelings, that's who we are. But always with hope, always that Christ is there with us and weeping with us in a certain sense. You know, the St. John in the third chapter of his letter, first letter, speaks about the end game, you might say, the true reason for hope. You know, because we could say that John himself, one of the apostles, was there with Jesus and experienced all these things, because the apostles were following him in this gospel to Jerusalem and knowing what was sensing because of what was going on around them, sensing what was ahead of them, and that they, at one point in the gospel here, said, we're ready to go and die with you. But so John, being a witness of all these things, that of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, could also reflect on that. And I'm not a scripture scholar, but I'm going to bring this up. In the first letter of St. John in chapter 3 at the very beginning, I think in some ways he's reflecting on that experience of passing from death to life in Christ, mm-hmm. not without Christ, but in Christ. So he says, see what love the Father has bestowed on us that we may be called children of God. And in the letter of St. Paul to the Romans today that's read at Mass, we become children of God when the Spirit of God is placed within us. St. Paul was very enamored with the reality that when we're in Christ, we're in His Spirit. His Spirit lives in us. So taking that same notion or that same reality, St. John can say, see what love the Father has bestowed on us that we may be called children of God, yet that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Without Him, we weep inconsolably. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. We know that when it is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope based on Him makes himself pure as He is pure. So that hope is what gives us a clearness of life. Whether it's the woman at the well or the blind man, that hope clarified their situation, gave them the reality that God is with them, that they are children of God. And perhaps that's the greatest recognition of ourselves that's possible, that we belong to God, we are God's children. And through these three Sundays, and especially today, Jesus is reaffirming that He came to redeem us, to bring us God's love and mercy, acknowledging and affirming in all of us that we are God's children. That's our hope. No matter what our situation is in the current moment, as Martha and Mary, the woman at the well, or the blind man, no matter what your situation is, we are children of God. And that is our hope. And with our hope, we can also believe in that God's power is always with us. When Jesus arrived at the tomb of Lazarus, he told the disciples, I'm glad you're here, because I didn't come to do this as some kind of a fanatical experience for people to see and to clap their hands and say, oh, what a great guy.
Right.
He came so that God's glory could be revealed, that God has power over life and death. God has power over any of our situations. And I always like to say, you know, the situations may not change, but to know that we are children of God, that God has the power in our life, already changes something inside of us. That's what Jesus wanted to manifest to his disciples for their own faith as they began back toward Jerusalem after this event to face the horror of Calvary and the death of Jesus on the cross, that they too would experience his resurrection afterwards.
And he also, in a sense, for them and for us, redefines that idea of hope. If we have hope just on a superficial level, we don't really move ahead. But having the hope that you spoke about earlier deepens our faith, and whatever may come in terms of the circumstances that we experience, we still are able to keep our faith alive and move through them because we know God is with us through whatever difficulty we may face.
Sure. Yeah. And I think we've all had moments, I know myself have had them, you know, where we really have to face God and say, you know, where he's saying, do you trust me? And we have to come to that. And the more that we place our hope by saying, yes, I do have faith, I do trust you, and you realize through that things don't, the circumstances may not change, but new events or moments are introduced into your life that give you that sign, yes, hope is here. And that's the beauty of life, of living as a child of God. With being a child of God does not mean everything's going to go my way or the highway.
Right.
No, the highway's out of the picture. It's not my way. It's God's way. And the hope is to be able to respond to what God places in our life with hope, because that hope, it's hope after hope after hope, is the glory that we all are called to live and experience. So the hope that God gives is maybe not taking us out of our present situation, but promising there's more to come if you just look and see.
And also fortifying us for the situation at hand so we can deal with it with him in mind, as opposed to our terms, which I think a lot of people tend to do. And when they give it up to him and say, Lord, take this from me, we usually or almost always find our way to be able to navigate through those difficulties and deepen our faith in the process.
And that's true. And then the whole experience of the Christian is to live what is called the Paschal mystery, death and resurrection. So this is the pattern that Jesus gives to all of us, shows to all of us in his own life, but also in dealing with people. If you die with him, St. Paul says very clearly, if you die with him, you will rise with him. So it's being able to see the moments that we're living in that may be difficult. We would call them crosses. You know, a Christian without a cross is not a Christian. Have a cross, a difficult moment, to fight the cross, to fight God's plan with our plan, is to live without hope. But to know that whatever the death is right now, whatever the challenge is, the news may be even this morning that was announced to us in some way or another, that's not pleasant. What do you do with that? Can you say, Lord, I trust in you. I trust you. And it's a death. But you will give it, you will bring the resurrection. So it's to have this scene of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, as you said, unbinding all these. You can just imagine those bands around him and how constricted he was. But to let the Lord, with his power, unbind us. That's what hope's all about. Let him unravel our life and our situations, our difficulties. Never try to do it ourselves on our own powers, but let him. And because then the next day there's a beautiful moment in our life which is unexpected. That's resurrection. You know, death. And that's what life's about. And the more that we try to orchestrate a life that is without any kind of difficulties is a fight, an uphill battle for sure. Live in the present moment. Let God be God That's what fear of the Lord is. Mm-hmm. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is fear of the Lord. Let God be God.
Right.
Let him work with us. Now, we have to do our part, of course, and follow and say yes. But that's what a life of faith is all about, and that's how we become true children of the Father.
Very beautiful, and that really encapsulates the what I think a lot of people tend to misinterpret when they think, okay, well, he brought him back to life. Yes, but he's giving all of us this deeper hope that we carry through these other situations in our daily lives that we may not realize are death or death-like type of situations, but really the beginning and end of something, and it leads to something better.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes we may think that if I join this, or I become a Christian, or I become Catholic, and everything's going to, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. It's how we approach it. It's how we do that. We live our life in faith and in hope and in charity. The other thing is charity. Jesus was there because he loved Lazarus and Martha and Mary.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there as an employee. He wasn't employed to come into that.
Right.
He was there because he loved them. So there's charity. That's the cardinal virtues.
Mm-hmm.
The theological virtues. That's who God is.
Mm-hmm.
He was there in faith. He knew, of course, part of this, if you recognize, he was speaking to the Father. There was prayer there. So he had faith and hope in him, not hidden hope in himself, but that God's power would work through him. So that's what he wants of each one of us, faith, hope, and charity.
And we thank you for that reflection. And also, before we conclude our program today, we want to wish you a happy anniversary. 13th anniversary of your Episcopal ordination was yesterday, and fittingly so on the solemnity of the Annunciation. We thank you for your service, and we wish you many more years, and I know that you are pulled in so many directions, but we thank you for your light that you bring to us and everything you do here on the program and in the diocese, and we wholeheartedly thank you for your service, and we thank you for your ministry. Bishop, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesse, and thank God for calling me and giving me this beautiful place to serve so beautifully with so many wonderful people. So thanks to all of you. It's a pleasure and a joy and a gift to serve.
We thank you, Bishop.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.
With spring comes the annual Family Fest at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church, 3502 Saratoga Boulevard. From noon till 10 p.m. on Saturday, April 15th, there'll be loads to do and see and lots to eat. There'll be festival foods, vendors, live music, a kids' zone with activities from 2 till 6, and so much more. All proceeds support needed church maintenance and repairs. A highlight of this Family Fest is the Knights of Columbus St. Jude Council 11-238 Fabulous Barbecue Cook-Off, featuring brisket, chicken, ribs, and more. Prizes will be awarded for top finishers in each category. For cook-off registration forms, rules, and additional information, call 361-658-1295.